Signe Pike was working 10-hour days for a New York publishing house when she chucked it all to go looking for fairies in Mexico and the British Isles. She tells the story of her adventure in a new memoir called Fairy Tale. Anne Strangehams asked,
"What on earth made you want to set out to find fairies?"
Well, that's a great question, and it was a question I was asking myself continually on my journey. My father had passed away when I was 26 years old. It was an unexpected death, and I found that I was just not able to really get over it. I went to work every day, and I came home and went to bed and sort of did it all over again the next day. In the meantime, there was this woman who lived in my building. Her name was Raven Keyes, and she was one of my neighbors. And she was over for wine one night, and she said to me, "Do you know," she said, "the fairies absolutely love your apartment. It is just filled with fairy energy." And I looked at her, and I said, I think she's had one too many. But I started to ask her, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, you know, I believe that there are fairy energies, they're connected to the earth, and they're even here in Manhattan." And I found that, you know, of course, I didn't believe her, but at the same time, I found that I was really moved by her sense of belief. And it planted a seed, and I started thinking about why I had stopped believing in magical things. Why did I stop believing in the fairies I believed in as a little girl?
So at the heart of your quest, if you want to call it that, was, yes, you were looking for fairies, but you were looking for something more. You were trying to get back to a sense that the world we live in is a magical place, that there's something enchanted about it.
Yes, exactly. You know, I was listening to the news every day, and it was war and destruction. And I just thought, you know, I don't know about you guys, but this isn't really the happily ever after I was hoping for. I wanted to find a sense of belief in possibility. And so really, at its heart, Fairy Tale is the story of my quest to believe.
So you set out to see if you could find the fairies yourself. The first place you went is not the first place most people would think of looking for fairies. You went to Cancun in Mexico. What were you looking for?
Well, when I went to Mexico, I went with my friend Raven. She's a bit of a New York City spiritual guru, and she was taking a group of women for yoga and meditation in Tulum, Mexico. Before I left, I was poking around on the internet online, and I saw that there was this type of fairy that lived in Mexico called Los Alushas, and it made me think, if I can find that there's still some folklore alive about trolls or fairies in Mexico, then couldn't I find it anywhere? So that's really what happened. I was surprised at everything that unfolded there.
You found people who believe in Los Alushas?
Yeah, it was wild. You know, at first I was this pasty white tourist and I felt so embarrassed to go into a bar. But the hostess of our inn where we were staying told me to go to this place where she said that everybody believed in Los Alushas and in fact that they were seen there all the time by the workers at the hotel. So I went down there with a buddy of mine for lunch and was kind of playing undercover fairy detective. I had a couple beers and got talking to the bartender. And as soon as I asked him, have you heard or seen anything about Los Alushas? His jaw dropped and he said, "You've heard about them?" And he began to tell me stories of all of the locals who had had run-ins with these little creatures.
What kinds of stories did people tell about them? What sort of encounters had they had?
Well, you know, this was an interesting first dip into the fairy world because a lot of the folklore talks about how fairies are dangerous. And of course, we have this very light and airy pixie dust image of them. The stories I heard in Tulum were actually kind of frightening. The bartender told me that he had a friend who was digging a garden and he dug up this stick and stone structure. They're like little scarecrows that the Mayans used to make. And he said, "I'm going to keep this thing. This is amazing." And so he did everything he was supposed to. He gave it tributes every day, little food, little water. But he had this dog that he really loved. And the dog started having these little cuts all over it. But he couldn't understand because he was keeping this dog in and it wasn't going out and wandering the beach or the jungle at night. And according to this bartender, the man started to suspect that it was because this little Alush, as they call them, they're supposed to be very jealous. And that this Alush was very jealous that he loved his pet so much, and it was hurting his pet. So he got really angry, and he kicked the little wooden thing across the room, and he cursed at it. And the next morning when this man woke up, his dog was dead. hanging from the rafters of his hut. So I was thinking, what have I gotten myself into?
Well, did you personally have any creepy encounters with Los Aluches or anything that seemed strange?
Well, the thing that happened to me happened before I met that bartender. I had been down at the Tulum ruins that day, and I went to bed that night, and I got up, and it was in the middle of the night, and I really had to use the restroom. And it was while I was in there that I got the strangest feeling, like the hair on the back of my neck rose, and I felt like I wasn't alone. And it's hard to explain, but I felt or saw a flash in my imagination of this very vivid, short, hairy, troll-like creature standing there looking at me. And it was so vivid. He had dark brown eyes. He had very tan, weathered skin. He had very long, shoulder-length, very matted, kind of dirty-looking brown hair. And he was just standing there with his jaw kind of set, just looking at me, and I was terrified. But of course, it was sort of in my mind. So I just said, you know, that's my imagination. I'm just imagining this. And I went back to bed, although I brought my lady's razor with me from the bathroom just in case.
You're going to fight him off with your shic?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't go down without a fight. But the thing that was really kind of scary was that when I was talking to this bartender, he described to me what Los Aluches look like when people see them. And he described them as looking exactly like the thing that I had or hadn't seen that night, the night before.
Hmm. Was there a moment when, you know, it was just one thing too many and you felt like, that's it, I believe?
You know, one of the most amazing moments that I had was when I was sitting in Glastonbury, England at night in this garden called the Chalice Well Garden, and I saw these very distinct tiny pinpricks of sparkling light of all different colors in the bushes zooming around, and it almost looked like they were city lights. But of course, Glastonbury is actually pretty rural.
Fireflies?
That was one thing that crossed my mind, but these were teeny pinpricks of light, and they moved so rapidly from left to right, zooming all over the place, blue, orange, red, white, all different colors. I even asked one of my entomologist friends if she knew of any insect in the United Kingdom that could make a light like that, and she said, you know, certainly in all her years at Cornell, she'd never heard of one.
What do you think they were?
I think in that moment, you know, I felt like I'm seeing the fairy realm. I don't know whether it was one being or their energy or what, but I definitely felt, I knew at that moment I was experiencing something that maybe I could never explain.
How has that experience stayed with you? How has it changed you?
You know, I guess I felt like when I started the journey, I was living in Manhattan, and I wasn't very awake to my life. I was sort of sleeping through my days, metaphorically speaking. And I felt like when I left on my journey, I really came awake. I had thought that you had to travel far away in order to find enchantment. And what I actually realized is that if you learn how to open up your eyes and be aware of the world around you, and you get in touch with your world around you, especially with the earth, which we're all very connected to as people, and we sometimes forget that, that now I can see magic in my own backyard. I do believe it's very possible for us to access this type of enchantment, and that's my mission now, is to sort of help other people who are interested in reviving their sense of wonder to do so, to learn how to do so.
How does one learn how to do that?
One thing to do is to be open to it and to just be easy on yourself. You know, we tend to say, this is just my imagination. But actually, our imaginations are the only access, the only doorway that we have to other possibly invisible worlds around us. So that's our tool. And I think getting in touch with the stories that moved us as little kids and trying to see what still resonates there is one thing. But other things that people can do to sort of come alive again is to take some time for themselves to just be still, sit, connect, whether it's meditation for 10 minutes in the morning before your kids wake up and you have to take them to school, to really just sit and breathe and remember, I'm a human being living on planet Earth. Everything in my body is composed of the earth around me, but also really learning to be present, you know, taking joy in small moments. Like I found on my trip that my experiences had changed me and made me want to relate more. I would look at people in the eye when I made a transaction at the grocery store and smile. These are the moments where you realize that you're awake in your daily life. And so that's the first step. And after that, if you're open to it, the magic, I believe, will find you.
Sydney Pike is the author of Fairy Tale, One Woman's Search for Enchantment in a Modern World. She talked with Anne Strange Champs.